Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome onto the show. I am your host, Anna Black, and welcome back tonight. We're going to have two artists in tonight to chat and talk about their work. I wanted to let everybody know for the rest of the month, only songs we'll be playing is by Miss Whitney Houston. We pray that she rest in peace. You know, that was a great loss in the last show. We actually moved the show so fast, we forgot to actually mention the late and great Miss Whitney Houston. She will be well missed. And that was, oh my God, that was a heartbreaking news. So for the rest of this month, we will be listening to Miss Whitney Houston for opening and closing songs. So we're going to go ahead and move on and get the show started. Tonight we're going to be joined by author Brandy Janae. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And also Mr. Kwantu Amaru. And I also hope I'm pronouncing his name right. I'm going to go ahead and get started with Brandy first, because it's always ladies first on our show. So, but I'm going to bring on both guests just to say hello and welcome them onto the show. Brandy and Kwantu, can you hear me?
I can. Hello.
I definitely can. How are you?
Thank you guys for joining me tonight. I know it's been like a lot of touch and go with me. I honestly be so busy, and people don't really understand sometimes that I be all over the place. So I thank you guys for being patient with me and coming on to the show to talk about your works. We're going to go ahead and get started with Ms. Brandy first. Brandy, you can just give us a little background about yourself, where you're from, marital status, do you have kids? Just give us a little background about yourself.
Okay. Well, I was born and raised in California. I currently live in Georgia. That's been an experience. But I've been here in Georgia off and on for about, I guess, going on 8 years now. No children. I am not married, and I am so thankful for that. I don't think I could handle kids and a husband right now. I have a bachelor's degree in sociology that I received in California. Then when I came here, I went to Clark so I could work on my master's degree in social work. And, you know, once I was here, Georgia kind of pulled me in, and I'm kind of glad that it did, because being here, you know, I've been able to work on my books and work on my movies. So it's been a really wonderful thing moving out here.
Right. So tell us where this journey led you into the literary world. How did your writing career start? What made you sit down and say, I want to write books or write a book?
You know, I always wanted to write. And when I first started, it was more of a hobby, something I did on the side, something that I did to make myself happy. But then I ended up sharing my work with some close friends, and they said, this is something that you need to work on. You need to turn it into something and really put it out there. And I just, you know, believed in them and believed in me, and I just started this process and said, okay, this is something that I can do. And it took a while. I mean, I started off with writing short stories, and then those short stories became the basis of my first book, which is Illusions of Elusive Love.
Okay. Now, when you decided to actually put your work in print, when you decided to actually publish your work, what avenue did you take? Did you go by submission? Did you decide to self-publish? How did you actually publish your work?
I considered doing submissions. I looked into it. I looked into the business. I looked into the contracts, and I decided that this wasn't an avenue that was for me. So I self-published, and that wasn't a journey I expected either. It wasn't a process that I knew about, so it was, I had to learn as I went along, a lot of hard work, a lot of long days, a lot of my own money. But at the end of the day, it's my work. I own it. I don't answer to anyone, and that is the best thing for me anyway.
Right. So how many works do you actually have? How many published books do you have?
I have three. My latest one is My Name is Sin, and then my second book is called The Playground Whore.
So we're going to, since this is my first time ever chatting with you, Brandy, because I'm not familiar with your books, I will not lie, I will be honest. And normally when I do have people on the show, it gives me opportunity also to add to my library of books, because I don't know each and every author that's out there. So real quick, since this is the first time we have you on the show, I don't know if your books are a series, are they standalones? Give us a little bit of background about your stories first, and then we'll move into your current book.
Okay. The first one, Illusions of Elusive Love, it is a standalone. All of my books are standalone books. But it's really about relationships and finding out what love really is. And basically, I think as women, we need to understand that we have to first be that woman for ourselves before we can branch out into a relationship. So in the process of all the drama and the fighting and the lying and the crying, you kind of discover yourself in love with yourself first. And that is my first one. My second one, The Playground Whore, it is about a self-help author who's writing a book called The Playground Whore, How to Get What You Want Without Losing the Game. And she's becoming very popular with her work, and she's gaining popularity and fame. And her husband and her best friend start acting that it's jealousy. But in actuality, they've been keeping this secret from her, and they're trying to figure out how do we let her know that what she thinks isn't the case. And you learn out, you learn with Dinah, which is the main character, you get to learn about what that secret is and how she deals with it.
Okay. So when you came up with these books, what came first, the title or the concept? Because a lot of people say, I have my title. I just knew what my title was going to be, but they didn't know what the book was going to be about. What actually came first, your concept or your title?
You know, it's different. For my first book, it was the story. The story came first. I didn't have the title for my first book until I was almost done with it. I wanted to make my first book very personal, and there's some things in there that are from my journal. And so as I'm flipping through my journal, there was this short poem that had the first line, "Love Eludes Me," and then that's how I came up with the title, Illusions of Elusive Love. Now, with The Playground Whore, I had that title in my head before I started writing that book. And for the same thing with my new book, My Name is Sin, I had that title before I started writing.
Okay, so with My Name is Sin, you already knew where you were going with that one.
I knew where I was going with that one. I knew the title, but even before I write, I play around with the storyline in my head before I jot anything down. So by the time I'm writing, I know my characters, I know what they look like, I know what they sound like, I know how they move, and so I'm very intimate with their lives and with the storyline before I even get to writing out the book.
Okay. Oh, wow. These books sound kind of deep. they sound kind of deep.
I'm going to have to make sure you get my books.
I definitely will, because most artists come here, I do to have repeat guests that I'm familiar with their work. Then sometimes I just have a new author I never even talked to before or never even heard of. So my Kindle is like, you know, it was like if it can seep out, I have books just falling out of my Kindle because I have so many people on that have so many great reads.
Uh-huh.
Now, your current book, we're going to get in a little bit more depth into your current work. When did you actually release your current book?
That was released last year. It's also available on Kindle. It's available on Amazon. And I have audiobooks coming out in April for my books, too. So this is my Name is Sin is my baby. And it's really about a woman named Sin. Her mother named her Sin. And, of course, in the book you get to learn about where that name came from and why she has it. But Sin is a lawyer, and she is faced with the challenge of representing her mother, who has been charged with murdering her father. And you get to learn the dynamics of their relationship and how Sin grew up and how they got to this place where, you know, Sin's father is now dead and her mother is accused of murder. Very, very good book, very different from my other two, which are more relationship-based.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. My Name is Sin. I really love that.
My name is Sin. It sounds like it. I mean, like, for a parent to even do that to their child, just like naming your child a disease or something, it's like, God, Sin is like the worst thing on the planet. Wow. It's like, did you hate me when I was in a womb? I mean, where did this start?
So what, Sin embraces her name, which is another element. Like, why does she embrace her name the way that she does? But she does.
Yeah, because, I mean, honestly, you go to school and somebody say, what's your name? And you look at them and say, Sin, and they're like, oh, get out of here, stop playing. You're like, no, for real, that's my name. No, stop playing. No, for real, that's my name.
They don't even want to deal with you at that point just because of your name. So, you know, what's in a name? That's kind of important what you name your kids.
So are you getting any negative feedback from readers out there? Because some people do judge a book by its cover. So do you ever have any regrets for naming that book that title, or you don't give a damn? This is my title, my book, this is what I wanted. So, hey.
You know, you can't please everybody. So even if you go into the thought of, oh, I want to make this group happy, I want to make this group happy, you're going to lose. You cannot make everybody happy. Everybody's going to have something negative to say. Some of it you have to dismiss. Some of it you do need to take in and say, okay, maybe I should have done A, B, C, and D, because that's how you learn and that's how you grow. So I have gotten negative feedback. I've gotten more positive feedback. I take most of the negative feedback in because I do want to grow as a writer. I do want to learn and be someone that's established in this writing game. So if negativity isn't a bad thing, it's how you deal with it that's really going to make a difference.
Right. That's correct. So are you working on anything new now? Because I am on Amazon now, and I'm trying to log in so I can go ahead and purchase this book. I'm looking at it like all your dates, like all your books released at the same time. Is that so, or is it just released on Kindle around the same time?
Yeah, they were released on Kindle at the same time. But my books, I think they're about 2 years apart.
Okay. All right. So when you sit down to what is your muse? What inspires you to sit down to write a book? Because everybody say, I have to be this or I heard this. So what is it for Brandy that inspires you to sit down and say, I want to write about that?
Oh, wow. You know, I get ideas, and really they just come to me, and I have a lot of ideas floating around in my head.
Yeah, I can imagine, because sometimes I'd be like, shut up. I'm trying to work on this right now. Just leave me alone.
No, I know. Like, I have a list right now of just concepts and ideas, and one day I'll get to them. Some of them stand out, and their story is much more vivid. And so those are the ones that I focus on and that I choose to write about. I never sit down and think, oh, I want to write about this. It's something that has really just come to me, and I said, okay, I'm going to let this develop and see what happens.
Right. I can see now. This one, 09, 2000, I can see the difference now. So in your book, who would be, I guess, your favorite person that you wrote about? Like, my favorite character for me is Layla. So, like, out of all your novels and your stories, who is, like, your favorite character to write about?
My favorite character comes from my first book, and her name is Aliana. And I really like Aliana because before I wrote the book, she was in the short story, and I just got to know her more than, it sounds kind of crazy, but I got to know her better.
Right.
And I can relate a lot to her because she's a character that is very intelligent, very loving. She does all the right things, and she just wants to have that special person that can admire and appreciate what she has to offer. She has a lot of depth to her, and so you have to get to know her to see her different layers and peel it back and, you know, really get to know and see who she is. So Aliana is my favorite one.
Okay, that's cool. I know, because some characters I write about and I'm just smiling the whole time. It's like I cannot wait to see what's going to come for them. So what category would you put your books in? What genre would you call your books? Because I'm not thinking that they're romance, but what category would you put your books in?
No, they're not romance. I would say more drama. Yeah, it's definitely not romance. It has some elements of that, but, you know, one word to sum up my books, it's drama.
Okay. All right. If you had the opportunity to actually sit down and write another genre or a different genre, do you have another one that you want to, like, dabble in or even try?
I do. I actually do want to write nonfiction books eventually.
Oh, okay. So that is your goal.
That is my goal. So down the line when I, you know, have time to do some extensive research, nonfiction is something that I'm looking forward to doing.
Do you have, like, a different, a certain subject that you want to address?
I don't.
Yeah. I know. I'm just curious. You know, I'm gonna ask a lot of questions. I'm gonna try to cover everything, because a lot of times when you're doing a show, it's like somebody's like, ooh, me, ask this. So that's why I want to make sure I cover everything, because if you decide that you want to write nonfiction, I'm like, well, maybe she has a drive or a certain thing that she want to support. So that's why I ask. But before I get ready to move on to my next guest, because we're going to move on and shortly, I do have area code 912 in the queue, and I just want to make sure you don't have a question for Brandy before we move on.
No, I'm just listening in, Anna. Thanks.
All right, thank you so much. Okay, and what's next for you, Ms. Brandy? Are you releasing anything this year? Are you working on a new novel now? What's next for you?
I am releasing my movie. I'm so excited.
A movie? Get out!
Yes.
You sitting now? We're sitting here in this interview, and you holding on to that good information.
I could have sworn I said that. But my first book I made into a movie is called Elusive Love. The website is elusivelovethemovie.info. But yes, it is being released soon, very, very soon. I'm very excited about that. That is the one thing that I'm working on. And like I said, I do have audiobooks that are coming out shortly. And I'm not working on anything in terms of writing, because I think, you know, with this movie coming up, this is taking all of my time. And I do have a stage play that I'm working on with another author, Patricia Richardson. So we're going to be working on that this year. And I also have a contest coming up where we will let people submit videos, and they will have a chance to win a role in my next production. So
how – now, you know, I got to get back to this movie thing. Mm-hmm. How difficult or how, I guess, hard that was for you? I mean
–
I know. No, I'm asking. Not because I'm being nosy, but I know it's costly. And it's difficult for some. So, how difficult was that that venture for you?
Oh boy, it was really hard. You know, I have no movie making experience. It is something that I said, okay, this is something I want to do. After reading my book, I'm like, I can see this being a movie. And then, you know, months later, my mom was like, you know, I've read your book again. I really think you could make a movie out of this. I'm like, okay, I have to do this. So I got together with my cousin, and, you know, we started from scratch, you know, just doing the research, reading books, talking to different people, getting our stuff together. And we actually shot the movie in Atlanta in 2009. It's 2012. It's been a long process. Things went wrong. Things went right. But it was so much fun. I can't wait to do it again. And I'm so excited to release this movie, you just don't understand. It's been a long, hard road.
I've got to ask, though, we know it's named after your first book, Elusive Love, mm-hmm. Illusion of Elusive Love. Where would your movie be airing or playing?
We are going straight to DVD. We are going to have a theater release for the premiere. And if we have some dates for another theater, you know, I do want to do that, but right now the goal is to just have the premiere, have it go straight to DVD, and then probably do, like, city by city to make our mark.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, wow. Congratulations on that. Wow. And I wish you so much success with that, because for a person to have a vision or a dream and they actually go for it, it's a great thing, because a lot of people sit on their talent and they don't do anything with it. But you're out there, you're doing your thing, you're making things happen. So congratulations to you, and I do wish you all the success in the world. Wow. So do you have any signings coming up, or you have anything coming up where people can come out and see you, or where are you going to be coming in the near future?
I do. I'm going to be at the Green Room in Atlanta March 25th for the Authors Expo. It's going to be at 4:30 p.m., and you can go to my website, brandyjanae.com. That's BrandyJanee, and follow me on Twitter at Brandy Janae, and you can keep informed of what I have going on. But the next one is March 25th in Atlanta at the Green Room.
I'm going to miss you by 1 week. I'm going to be in Atlanta the weekend of the 16th, the weekend before that. Then we head to New York. So now I'll be in New York, I think, the 18th, 19th, and 20th before I come back to Texas. So yeah, I'm going to miss you by 1 week. But hopefully our paths will cross if you're ever doing anything else, Brandy, feel free to come back and hang out on the show with us to let people know what you have coming out. You can be your repeat guest as many times as you want. There's no limit.
Remember you said that, because I'm coming back. Remember you said that.
Right, there's no limit. You can keep coming back as many times as you want. But we do thank you for hanging out with us tonight. And I just downloaded My Name is Sin, so that's on my to-read list. I have a whole bunch of books, but once I get to it, you'll know because I do leave reviews. But we do thank you for coming out tonight with us, and we wish you all the success in the world, and feel free to come back.
Okay, thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, have a good one.
You too. We just was joined by Miss Brandy Janae. She's the author of Illusions of an Elusive Love and The Playground Whore. And our most current novel is My Name is Sin. Excuse me, you guys. And we're going to move over to our second hour, and we're going to hang out with Mr. Kwantu Amaru. Now, I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing his name right. So, Mr. Amaru, can you hear me?
I sure can. You're pronouncing it perfectly.
Oh, thank you. I was a little nervous about that because every time I got your email, I'm like, oh, my goodness. When he come on the show, I do not want to mess up his name.
No, people butcher my name, but you did it perfectly well. You got it really great.
Oh, thank you very much. So it's going to be it's going to be some of the same questions along that you heard me ask Brandy. So I hope you was making mental notes about it. First, before we get into your book, we want to know a little bit about you, the man, Mr. Amaru.
All right. Well, I was born in Pittsburgh, but I moved around a lot growing up. I spent middle school and high school in Lake Charles, Louisiana. So shout out to all my Louisiana people. And, you know, moving from the south from the north to the south was like a major shift. Because Louisiana, if you know, if you've been there, is like its own world. I mean, if you're from Texas, you know, Texas is its own world itself, but Louisiana is really its own world. I mean, it has cultural influence of Native Americans, French, Spanish, the Caribbean, the Africans, and the English in one place. It's kind of crazy.
Right.
I'm not married. Don't have any kids. And I, you know, stay pretty busy. I'm also a part owner of a publishing and author services company. In addition to being a writer, my publishing company is called the Pantheon Collective. I started it with two other writers that people may know, James W. Lewis, who wrote Sellout and A Hard Man's Good to Find, and Stephanie Kasher, who wrote When Love Isn't Enough. So the three of us joined forces a couple of years ago and started our own publishing company.
Wow. See, I don't know if I'm going to be a little bit jealous of you and Miss Brandy, because all this single stuff with no kids, I'm like, wait a minute. Y'all living la vida loca. But... And I'm sitting here married with children now. Y'all need to stop rubbing this in my face. So what actually drove you to say, I want to become a writer or a published writer? You know, was it all your life you've been writing, or you just had something you want to write about? What was your motivation to actually become a writer?
I actually started writing poetry when I was 20, you know, and I started, you know, writing a bunch of poems, of course, over some girl who broke my heart, and started writing a bunch of poems after that. And then I got into novel writing. I had an idea in my head. I took a creative writing class and, you know, kind of sparked the idea even more. And so I started writing the novel that we're talking about tonight in 22. It took me 12 years to write, edit, and publish it. So whenever people say that independent books are rushed out, they got to read One Blood, because this definitely went through a more rigorous editing and, you know, more revisions than most New York Times bestsellers. And so far, readers are communicating that back. They're saying that it's kind of redefining what an indie book is supposed to be.
Right. So, and it sounds like for that length of time that you did put into the book before you actually got it in print, you know, it's like you couldn't come out with no garbage, because then
no.
People talk about you.
It was bad. You know, it's one thing to say 12 years and it's crap, right? You say 12 years and it's good, and people are like, oh, so, you know, the process is worth it, right? But if it would have been, a bust, it would have been really embarrassing, to say the least.
Yeah, right. So you said you did start off writing poetry before you got dove into writing a novel.
Yeah. I've actually published six six spoken word kind of poetry chapbooks about different topics, you know, love, political themes, different, you know, all kind of, I like to publish books that kind of track my progress as a writer, as a poet. So, you know, prior to publishing this book, I've published four of my own poetry chapbooks online. I do spoken word poetry. You know, I've done spoken word poetry around the country. So I get on stage every now and again and perform. So it's fun, you know.
See, I like that because I have written some poetry in my day. I think it really sucks. I think I got on stage one time and did one poem, and I think that it's like because people were trying to hype me up, and I had a couple glasses of wine in me, so I thought I can do it. So, but that's not easy. So when you look at these poets on stage, you guys, and you see them doing their thing, don't think it's easy because it's not easy at all. You have to have some discipline and some wind in your body, my God.
Yes, you do. Yes, you
I
do.
Had no idea.
Sure.
So since you started a publishing house, what made you decide to go your own route? Because a lot of people, you know, people have their different reasons why they do the self-published versus permanent. What made you decide to go your own route to put your books in print?
Well, you know, first thing is when I was writing the book, I didn't know anything about writing or publishing. So when you start writing a book, unless you've been doing it your whole life, or you take classes, or you go get an MFA from some institution, you don't really know anything about, you know, really the construction of a novel, or kind of once you get it done, how you get it published. So I finished the first draft of the book in 2006, and I thought the book was done. I hadn't edited it. I hadn't done anything with it. I had a 600-page novel, 180,000 words, and I was like shopping to literary agents, and they were like, "This thing is too long. You know, this thing will never be published. It will never be seen in print." And I learned that the first thing I learned is you had to edit. So, you know, I paid for, you know, some copy editing and content editing, and I started attending writers' conferences. So I went to the Black Writers Union Conference, the BWRC, back in 2006. It was the first one I went to. And then I started going to a writers' conference every year. The Book Expo America Writers' Conference was one I went to three different years in a row. And as I upped my IQ about publishing, you know, I kept submitting the book to agents, and, you know, you have to send a book to a literary agent before you can get to the editorial phase, and, you know, collecting my, you know, rejection, which you have to do, I think, as an author. You have to go through that process because it makes you a better writer. So I went through the traditional process, and I got to a point in 2009, it was, that I felt like I had a great book, but I knew that if the book had been bought by a major publishing house that day, back in 2009, it wouldn't have come out for 18 months. And I'm a bit of a control. So I was like, I'm not waiting 18 months to have my book come out. I'm going to, you know, take control of the process. So I text messaged my partner, Stephanie Casher, and asked her if she wanted to start a publishing company. And she said yes. And then she brought in James, and the three of us created our publishing company. We published four novels in 2 years.
Wow. That's interesting. And that's a brave route to take, because it's a hit and miss. You can try it and it works, and sometimes it don't. So that is that was a very smart move. I encourage people all the time to self-publish nowadays, because that's the best route to go, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
I agree.
So we're going to get on to talk about this novel, One Blood. Now, I'm looking at this cover, and I'm thinking to myself, I have no idea what this book it could be about or possibly. It's like I can't look at this book and judge the book. I can't just say, oh, I don't know if it's mystery. I don't know if it's suspense. I don't know if it's horror. So tell us what One Blood is about. And first, before you do that, tell us what inspired that title.
Well, I mean, the book, you know, I was 22 years old when I started it. And when I started writing the book, the title was Simmons Park. And the book went from Simmons Park to Bad Blood, and then L.A. Banks, you know, rest in peace, she had a book that came out in 2006 called Bad Blood. So I'm like, I can't have the same title as another black writer who writes horror, so I changed it to One Blood. So basically it went from Simmons Park to Bad Blood to One Blood over the course of the 12 years. That's how the book got its title. But it's really about a voodoo curse that's tormenting a group of people who are unaware of their hidden connections. So it's one of those twisty, you know, thriller, suspense novels. It definitely is a kind of horror genre. So if you like, you know, Tananarive Due, Octavia Butler, Brandon Massey, Anne Rice, Stephen King, this is the kind of book for you. That's kind of the place that it fits. And
well, I just purchased it, so I'll get to see sooner or later. I just sent it to my Kindle, but I'm just sitting up here looking. I know you're gonna get it between the pages a little bit more deeper for me, because if it has that many pages, I'm pretty sure you're not gonna give anything away.
Oh no, not at all. Not at all.
And I have to say this because when people are listening and they may not be at their computer or anything, if you're listening, you're on your computer. But if you go onto Amazon and check out the book, it has some great reviews. I mean, not just good reviews, some great reviews. So the feedback is outstanding.
That's the best part of this whole process has been, you know, the feedback. You know, like I said, it's like I felt like I had a baby. You know, 12 years, throw it out to the world. It's very scary, you know, to see. You know, I was very worried about those initial reviews. And, you know, so far, almost all 5-star reviews on Amazon and Goodreads. People are calling it, you know, impossible to put down, a page turner, and provocative. You know, so that's the most rewarding part of the process, you know, is really sending my baby out in the world. And so far, people think my baby is pretty beautiful. So it's good.
Yeah, I'm looking at this now. Now, is this like the only? Oh my God, I'm not just looking. Your published day was my birthday, November 29th.
Oh really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
I'm like, this is my birthday. So with this book here, since it's like on a horror or type of genre.
Yeah.
Do you write other things besides just this type of genre? Do you want to write anything else besides this type of genre?
Well, it's funny because if people who read my poetry kind of say, you know, I write primarily, I'm known for writing romantic poetry, and I write these horror books. So people are like, who is Kwantu Amaru? he's a romantic poet, and he writes a thriller and horror novel, so who is this guy? It's just, I guess I read too much Stephen King when I grew up. So I tend to write books that have more of a thriller element to them. I tend to write books that are more about the kind of the darker side of human nature a bit more, because that intrigues me a little bit more. So I think I'll always write thriller suspense. It might not always be horror. It might not always have a supernatural element, but it'll always be, I think, thriller suspense type books. That, you know, the kind of books, you know, like The Da Vinci Code, you can't put down, that you learn something from. You know, that's the kind of books I want to write.
All right, so do you read any other type of genres? Like, do you enjoy reading other type of books?
Oh, yeah, I read everything. I read literally everything. I read literary books. I read street lit. I read urban fiction. You have to read everything. You know, one of the things about being a writer is you have to read everything, because there are ideas and, great themes and stories everywhere. And you have to kind of know when you're writing a book, you want to know that you've kind of scan the environment, and you know you're not copying off anybody. You're kind of writing your own original story, so you have to read a lot. And I know you know that as an author. You have to read as much as you write, almost.
Yeah, but you know what? The thing is, I don't I think my opinion about originality is a little bit different from a lot of people, or what, like you just said, you have to try to be, I guess, a little original. I don't personally, myself, I think that there's nothing new under the sun, and mostly everything that you read or write is based on something that happened to somebody else or happened to somebody else, or it's been written before. Like, I don't like when people critique people's manuscripts of books, saying the book was cliche, the book was predictable, the book is da-da-da-da. And I always have to come back and say, you know, well, romance is romance. Boy meets girl, they fall in love, they break up, maybe get back together. It's all the same. So you're not going to really get nothing that's too original, because it's just the way the person tells their story. Everybody tells their story from a different point of view. But mainly the ideas sometimes are kind of like swimming in the same pool.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So that's my take on it, because horror is horror, somebody getting slashed, or, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's all the same, ladies and gentlemen. It's just that if you enjoy the way that author expressed that, it's a good book. But don't say Arthur's book is cliche, or I've seen that plot a mile away. Hey, if you 9 times out of 10, the same thing's gonna happen in romance. The same thing's gonna happen in science fiction. It's almost the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will tell you this though, Anna. If you can figure out the ending of my book, I will send you 5 books for free.
Oh God, that's so much pressure.
I'm just telling you right now. If you're reading the book and you send me an email saying, "Oh well, I figured out what's gonna happen in your novel," I promise you, I will send a bunch of free stuff to you because so far no one has figured it out.
Oh, I can definitely believe you. I have been in situations where I read a novel and I'm like, oh my God, I did not see that coming. So, yeah. You know, it's a few of them out there. But I just don't, what I'm saying is I just hate for authors to get slack or beef from people who try to say that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Give them the credit for actually sitting down, writing a book, publishing a book, because it's not easy as people think it is.
Yeah, it's much easier to critique than it is to actually do it, right?
Exactly. So tell me, doing your, this is your first book, and it did take you a while to write it. I want to say, what was your negative things about doing this project and versus the positive? Like, what were some of the things, like, you're like, oh, God, this is a headache, versus some of the things you're just like, okay, I can deal with this?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, what I learned about myself writing the book is that I'm really a perfectionist, and I'm a bit of a you know, control freak, and so... you know, the editing process drives you crazy because, you know, I've literally read the book probably 1,000 times. So
right.
the best part about the process is that I never have to read it again. the best thing for me is that I'd never have to read the book again if I don't, you know, as long as I can read it for fun and for pleasure, but I never have to go through it again from an editing perspective or taking something out or doing something else. And so that's just a big relief off my back. And this thing has been a monkey on my back for 12 years. So,
wow.
You know,
I'm glad you finally birthed this baby.
I think carrying it around with me, I moved around so much. I moved to 7 or 8 different cities. You know, the book was with me everywhere. It was with me on vacation. It was with me, you know, at work. It was with me during a day job. It was with me while I'm sleeping. So it never lets you go until you finish it. So I think the worst part about it is that, you know, you have this thing, this burden that you have to, you know, the voices won't stop. They won't leave you alone. The characters will not leave you alone. You have to tell their story. And so finally I can say that at least that these people's story is told, you know, on
right.
The next one.
Right. So what would be your advice to an aspiring writer out there, somebody out there who, like, because we always get people calling in. What would be your sole advice to an up-and-coming author? What would be something that you tell them that's the most important thing about putting out a book?
Today, I think the most important decision that an author can make is not whether to go traditional versus independent. I think I think traditional publishing is kind of going to be a dinosaur that's going to be extinct in about 3 to 5 years. I think it's whether you should create your own independent publishing company or work with an assisted self-publisher like CreateSpace. And I think that, you know, that's the biggest decision that an author today has to make is whether they want to get some assistance from iUniverse, Libris, any of those kind of author house, or whether they want to completely create their own independent publishing company. You know, we created our own publishing company. It's a harder route. There's a lot more upfront expense because you have to form an LLC or create a logo, build a website. But, you know, I personally wouldn't give away the control that I have of the publisher for anything. And so, you know, the philosophy of the Pantheon Collective is to teach writers how to form their own publishing company so they can truly own their publishing destinies. Because if you're going to go through all the effort to self-publish, you might as well get all the royalties and the financial benefit that comes when you succeed. You know, the assisted self-publishers still are going to take a chunk of your money. And, you know, Amazon has already taken enough, and Smashwords and all these other distributors. You might as well get as much as you can if you're going to put that much effort in. That's what I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I'm looking at now with the great things said about the novel, because I'm pretty sure there was a lot of great things. But from the other end of the stick, have you received any negative feedback about the book? Have you had someone to say, wasn't for me? Or have you gotten any negative feedback on your book?
Well, I had a lot of early readers.
And we say be honest on this show.
I'm honest. I had a lot of early readers who read the book in different phases before this version. And so, you know, I got a lot of negative feedback in the drafting process. And so I went back to the drawing board a lot of different times in the book. So luckily this time around, this is a true statement, I haven't gotten any negative feedback on this book. Now, my worst experience as an author has been receiving, you know, really bad feedback on one of my poetry books that I posted on Goodreads.com. And you know, I kind of got dragged into commenting about with a group of people who were commenting on the chapbook, and I learned a lesson really quickly that you can't engage as an author with the people who will want to critique your book. They want to critique your book. They want to call your baby ugly, you know, so you got to let them do it.
Right. That's a nice way of saying they want to call your baby ugly.
Yeah, you can't get in the middle. You can't protect your baby when it's out of the womb, when it's out in the world. You know, basically you have to just deal with the good and the bad. So I learned a quick lesson, you know, that I, you know, basically, you know, if I get bad reviews, you got to roll with it, you know, and just look at the good ones, because, you know, the bad ones will definitely come, but hopefully the good ones outnumber them. And it doesn't even matter at the end of the day, because, you know, I'm very happy with the accomplishment of just getting it out, you know.
Right. And people do, I tell listeners all the time, because I think I can tell I have this one nemesis, this one hater, I think. Well, I wouldn't call her a hater. I just, I can truly say that I don't think that my books are a fit for her, but she keep reading them.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like if all my books keep coming across as a three for you, as a three, you know, it's like, don't read no more of my books, because it's like my books are not doing it for you. So, but every book that I put out, you know, it's like she run and get it, and she's quick. She's almost like one of the first people to post a review. And I'm like, God, does this chick hate me? So, for newcomers, those who are listening out there who are just breaking into this business, some authors are seasoned. So some authors who even been in the business for a long time, who have tons of novels out, they still may get one or two bad reviews. Doesn't mean it's a bad book. It's just everything is just not for everybody. And
exactly.
I learned that the hard way, because my first bad review, I was in tears, but I had to get over it, you know.
For sure. And I definitely tell you, this book, you know, One Blood, you know, I think it's a fantastic book, but it's not for everybody. If you read romantic novels and you like happy endings, first of all, you're probably not going to dig it. If you know, have never read Anne Rice or Stephen King or, you know, Brandon Massey or Tanana Reid Du, it might be a little bit hard for you to get into the world, because it's very different, you know.
Right.
But, you know, so, you know, it's, you know, when you write genre fiction, you know, it's for people who like that genre, you know. Now, people will pick it up who don't read that genre, and you hope that they still get something out of it, but, you know, you can't control that.
Right. And we support everybody here at AAMBC. If you're an African-American writer and you out there and you have a book, only thing we support is hate. We don't support hate at all. If you hate and bash and against somebody else, we don't support that. But whether you are nonfiction to a fiction writer, horror to romance, we'll do it all here, because we want to support all of our artists and show them love and encouragement, because what we do is not easy. And like you say, we don't want nobody calling our babies ugly.
Exactly.
So this is a lifelong thing for us. It's not a fly-by-night thing, so we enjoy what we do. So to mm-hmm. you, Mr. Amaru, what's next for you? Are you working on a new book now, or do you have something in the works right now? What's new for you?
I'm working on my second novel. It's called The Uneasy Sleep of Giants. It's like The Kite Runner meets The Da Vinci Code. So it's a story about what might happen if there was a cure for cancer, but only a select elite few people wanted to control access to it. So I'm working on that. It's definitely a thriller, you know, another thriller suspense novel. I'm about halfway through it, about 180 pages in. So I'm, you know, doing pretty good on that one. And really just promoting the heck out of One Blood, trying to get as many people to read the book as possible and react to it. And, you know, really, the book just came out at the end of November, so I'm still in like the pre-launch.
Yeah, on my birthday, I ain't gonna forget that. On my birthday.
Happy birthday!
Thank you. So, do you have any appearances coming up? Will you be out signing anywhere, or is it somewhere we should be looking for you upcoming?
I live in Jersey City, New Jersey. I'm planning some book signing events in New York, Atlanta, Tallahassee, Florida, and Lake Charles, Louisiana for the second quarter. and really, you know, trying to do, you know, trying to get out there. But I also am doing a number of promotions, you know, online. I'm running a contest right now where I'm giving away a Kindle Fire to somebody at the end of March, one lucky fan. So readers who are interested in that can find out more on my website, www.quantuamaru.com. That's QWANTUAMARU.com.
Wow, and you're in a good area because I love the East Coast, and I will I'll be in New York next month. So, and it's a few bookstores on the East Coast that you really need to hit up. It's the Horizons in Philly, DC Book Diva in DC area, the Literary Joint over there, Street Scriptures. So it's a lot of avenues that you can hit on the East Coast. So if you ever have any questions about who does what or what bookstores that you should maybe contact over there, just always shoot me an email, because I think this will be my fourth time hitting the East Coast this year, and I'll be there next month, and I also will be back in May. So
I'm going to take you up on that. For sure.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. We want you to succeed. We want you to, you know, make it out there, because people had this mixed conception that black folks don't read, and that's so not true. So definitely want to get you linked up with some of those bookstores on the East Coast. Well, we're winding down in time, and we want to, again, get your contact information really quick, Quantu, before we let you go.
Mm-hmm. Thanks
and
a lot.
Where can listeners get your book?
So the book is, you know, on Amazon.com right now. If you have an e-reader, you can get a autographed hard copy of the book directly from my website, quantuamaru.com, QWANTUAMARU.com. You can get information on that contest also at quantuamaru.com. My Facebook is One Blood Book. So facebook.com/OneBloodBook is my fan page. My Twitter handle is also at One Blood Book. And my email is quantuamaro@gmail.com. So I want to hear from the readers. And, you know, thank you very much, Anna, for having me tonight. This has been a fun conversation, and I look forward to networking with you offline.
All right, and definitely when you have your new project to come out, definitely come back and hang out with us and share that with our listeners too.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You have a great night.
You too.
All righty, guys, we had a great hour tonight. We were just joined by authoress first, Brandy Janae. She is actually the author of Illusions of an Elusive Love, The Playground Whore, and My Name is Sin is her most recent novel, most current novel. And you can also hit Brandy up at Brandy, B-A-R-N-D-I, Janae, J-E-N-E-E.com. That's her website. If you hit up on Facebook, she has a fan page also. And in our second hour, we was joined by Mr. Quantu Amaru. He is the author of One Blood. If you want to information about his contest he has going on, definitely hit him up on his website, and that's quantuamaru.com, and that's QWANTUAMARU.com. And you also can hit him up on Facebook and things like that. So definitely get some information and try to win that Kindle, you guys. And I always tell listeners out there, if you read a good book and you loved it, also make sure you always try to post a review to let the author know what you thought about the book. If you didn't like it so much, don't post a review. I always tell people that too. But we will join you back here on the 17th with Michelle Wilson. And then after that, we'll have a panel discussion on the 21st with Ms. Tamika Newhouse and some other authors. So we hope to see you guys come back. You guys have a great night. Until next week, Tuesday, have a great and safe weekend.
Why does it hurt so bad? Thought I was over you, but I keep crying when I don't love you. So why does it hurt I thought